Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the invitation. I feel I'm probably completely underqualified to speak to. I'm just an emergency medicine doctor, which means I have a short attention span professionally, I do have to say. Dr. Littlebridge, I've thought many times about if I could go back in time when chasing exotic viruses is a cool thing.
I always wanted to be you.
All right. So infectious disease has always been an interest of mine. We've talked about some exciting things, Ebola, these scary things, and I'm going to be boring. I'm going to start off and say, take a deep breath, relax, right? I don't want to be cavalier. If you are a person that gets one of these unfortunate complications of these diseases, or somebody that you care for gets it, it's devastating and terrible. It can be very dramatic. It can be, fatal. So there are some things that are important and weighty, but for the most part, this is not as bad as what I think people like to sensationalize. So I'm going to talk to you about a few things. And we're going to talk about enterovirus, and the enterovirus D68 is kind of the one that's made a lot of news. But enteroviruses have been around a long time, and there's lots of types of enteroviruses. There's over 100 types. There's Coxsackie A, Coxsackie B, there's echovirus, there's polio is an enterovirus, right? So there's lots of enteroviruses out there, and they can cause a lot of presentations of disease. There's millions of people that get infected every year with these types of viruses. Hand, foot, and mouth disease, if anybody's ever had a kid, that had this is an enterovirus. Again, polio, which, is, like I said, in the United States has been eradicated, but not so in the rest of the world, right? I've traveled to Africa 6 times or so, and I've seen the effects of polio in kids. And enterovirus D68, I think the CDC is investigating about 100 cases of some flaccid paralysis related to that infection, so there may be some polio-like effects related to the enterovirus D68. The common cold, right? This is enterovirus causes a common cold. And again, with my associate with the health department, and I have a perchant to say things that are offensive on occasion, so let me just say, if you are afraid of vaccines for whatever, idea that you may have related to it, flush that away. Vaccines have saved millions of lives. It's a huge advancement in medical science, and one of the biggest and most important things we can do. And so as a business owner or somebody involved in business, if you want to look at maintenance of health of your workforce, because when you're sick, you don't come in, there's a lot of lost productivity days, health maintenance and vaccines are important. So if you haven't had your flu shot, we want to know about it, and we want to harass you until you get your flu shot. So the common cold is one of the things that enteroviruses cause. Viral meningitis or aseptic meningitis. Again, this is largely something that is not devastating, although it rarely can be. West Nile, right? Most of the people that get West Nile never even knew it, right? You had West Nile and you didn't know. There's a few people that get a viral-like illness, and then there's a very small subset that get the encephalitis or meningitis with West Nile. And these enteroviruses are one of the more common causes of a viral meningitis. Again, not much to do other than supportive care. Doesn't require antibiotics, and most resolve without any problems. Very few will be left with some residual effects, but again, fortunately, that's a very small number. So let's talk about enterovirus D68 specifically, since that's kind of the hot thing to talk about in the news. This seems to have a little bit more pronounced respiratory effects rather than your common cold. And if you're a small child or an elderly adult with some underlying lung disease like asthma or COPD, that's what makes this a little bit more problematic. So here's a small child with enterovirus D68. You can see he's got the breathing tube in. There's been a few deaths related to this infection. Again, fortunately, those numbers are small. When you look at the total numbers of people infected, the ones that deal with these devastating consequences, fortunately, are a minority. It's a very dramatic minority, but it's still a minority. And so from a practical standpoint, this is not something that you need to hide in your closet and live in total fear about it. We've had viruses around a long time. This is the one, I guess it's because it's new, gets the attention, but there's other viruses that cause more death in our kids than this one does. So let's talk about some other seasonal illnesses. There's the flu. You know, millions of people get infected. Tens of thousands will die every year in the United States. About 30,000 deaths annually in the United States. Not an insignificant number. Definitely more than enterovirus D68. Again, it seems to affect some extremes of age. And from an emergency medicine standpoint, you know, my poor kids, right? They have to live with all my paranoia after seeing stuff in the ER. And one thing that's very dramatic and devastating, those of us that have worked in the ER have seen this up close and personal, is there's a process where you can have the flu, and it's the standard flu, nothing special, nothing scary, it's just the flu. But for whatever reason, in a very small subset, you get this bacterial overinfection with kind of a necrotizing pneumonitis. And you can go from being fairly well to being dead in 24 hours, 48 hours. So every once in a while, you'll see one of these come through the ER where they were fine yesterday and now they're completely devastated. So flu shots are important. Again, if I could reiterate that. RSV, or respiratory syncytial virus, we think of it in the acute care setting as mostly a disease of kids, although you can get it throughout life. It affects elderly people. It can be responsible for, I think, about 10,000 deaths annually in the elderly. RSV will be responsible for about 100,000 pediatric admissions per year. Yes, sir? All right, thank you. So RSV has a fatality rate of maybe as high as 1%, right? So if we have 100,000 admissions and 1% fatality rate, so this has a higher death rate than enterovirus D68, but this is a seasonal thing. Norovirus, if you ever had this, you won't forget it, right? This is showing you one end of the virus. I didn't want to show you the other end of the virus because it's, but it's a dramatic thing. You know, the cruise ships that have all this problem. Bacterial meningitis is a seasonal illness as well. I don't know a lot of rashes. I'm not a dermatologist, but I know this one, right? If you see this rash, this is a bad thing. This is we immunize against Neisseria now, so this is a less common. So strep is a bit more common for strep pneumo is more common for bacterial meningitis now. West Nile seasonal, more in the warmer months. And tick-borne illnesses, right? We have there's Lyme disease, there's Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and in Texas we have a Lyme-like disease that I don't believe is fully classified yet, but we've seen a few cases of that, so tick-borne illness. There are a couple questions that were forwarded on my list. So it says the common cold and enterovirus share the same symptoms. How do parents know whether to take a child in? You don't need to take your child in for either unless they have, you know, severe symptoms. If they're having a lot of trouble breathing, significant wheezing that needs some kind of intervention. But if it's going to be a cold, it's going to be a cold. Antibiotics don't fix viruses. So if it's a viral disease, we do have problems with antibiotic resistance and the complications of indiscriminate antibiotic use, which can cause diarrhea and a variety of other things. So be an informed healthcare consumer. Ask if you need antibiotics. If this is a virus, please don't take antibiotics. Since there's no vaccine available, what precautions? I think washing hands saves lives, right? Just disinfecting of surfaces, respiratory hygiene, making sure you don't sneeze and shake hands, as mentioned above. And the other question is, if someone got enterovirus, would you get antibiotics? And the answer is no. So antibiotics are only against bacterial diseases, not against viral diseases. Those, you know, you need an antiviral drug for, which there are few. Most viruses do not have a specific treatment, including Ebola. So that's kind of a quick and dirty seasonal from a business standpoint. Again, the health hygiene of your employees, I think, is an important thing for the function of your business as well as revenue, you know, lost revenue and lost time. So thank you very much, and I'll yield.